Bringing your soul to light, healing through past lives and the time between. In a moment, Dr. Linda Backman joins us right here on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Linda Backman is a licensed psychologist. Since 1993, she has guided individuals in regression hypnotherapy to access their past and between lives. In 1997, she and her husband, Dr. Earl Backman, established the Raven Heart Center. Now, that's a mystery school in Boulder, Colorado, dedicated to guiding people to discover their path as a soul. In addition, Dr. Backman co-founded the International Between Lives Regression Network a few years ago, a network for regression therapists and for the promotion of awareness among the general public in the U.S. and abroad, and of the benefits and purpose of regression hypnotherapy. Here is Dr. Backman. Linda, how are you?
I'm doing well. I actually have a much better voice than I've had, but I'm still a little froggy. I've had a cold, so I hope your listeners can put up with a slightly scratchy voice.
We will do that. By the way, it's not that bad. You sound good.
Good. Good. Excellent.
Hypnotherapy, one of my favorite subjects, especially when you get into soul regression. How did you get involved in this?
Well, I actually, George, learned hypnotherapy a long time ago. I'm a psychologist of about 31 years, and so I took hypnotherapy training, not knowing why, and then those skills sat rather dormant, you might say. And then I discovered regression therapy, and the skills were needed. So, you know, isn't that the classic case of you're guided to do something and you don't know what the purpose was until finally you need those skills?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, indeed. You've been studying this for a long time, you and Earl. Have you encountered things that you question, that you didn't question a long time ago before you truly began to investigate this?
So you're saying, have I encountered things that now I don't question that I did question in the
past?
Yeah,
I mean, things that you're beginning to see answers for that you just didn't see a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't until, for me, it wasn't until 1993 when I realized that souls maintain their consciousness, that our loved ones cross over and they're still readily present, they can communicate. And honestly, I didn't, though I thought about reincarnation, I was not a believer in the early 90s. It's not that I disbelieved it. I just didn't know what, you know, I didn't know what to believe at that point.
I'm at a point now where I strongly believe that the afterlife, the soul world, the spirit world, call it what you may, is something that is part of this entire universe, probably formed way before the physical. And I'm beginning to think that the physical is here primarily for the perfection of this soul body. Am I getting close?
I think your last statement is absolutely, you know, hitting the nail on the head. I mean, that is our purpose for reincarnation. I say that, and I repeat this a lot of times, because when I say things, I don't just pluck them out of the air. They're based on thousands of regressions. So I think absolute bottom line is, as a soul, we come into body here on planet Earth to keep, we might say, raising our vibrations to grasp the full understanding of who we are as a soul, and to progress as a soul, and to progress the universe.
And we do a full circle, Linda. I mean, we go from soul to body to soul, and it just keeps going around and around and around. It truly is a miracle the way it functions. But I want you to take us through this process of death. Take us into this death process, and then what happens afterward?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of people in our culture, maybe not necessarily a lot of your listeners, but people in general, would think that death was an incredibly difficult process. And it's, I would say, I believe in total, it is not difficult. In fact, I think the soul often leaves the body before death actually occurs, particularly if it's a very trying or traumatic death. So essentially, that when the soul realizes it's time to leave, the soul disconnects and leaves the body. So dying is not necessarily difficult. I've had clients in my office reliving dying in war, where they're being shot or they're being hung. And of course, there are times when they just peacefully go to sleep. And it's almost like pressing a button and sort of like poof, your soul is ready to leave and moves on. And even though the body might be going through some kind of complex process, that doesn't mean that the soul is struggling.
Linda, once the soul leaves the physical body, in your opinion, where does it go? What is out there? Is it another dimension? What is it?
Well, it's basically reconnecting with who we are as a soul. So when we get ready to incarnate, we bring a holographic portion of our soul material, and we bring that into body. The remainder of our soul material rests in spirit, rests in the spiritual realm, which is purely an etheric realm of vibrational consciousness.
Are we touching that realm even when we're still alive and our spirit, our soul, is connected to the physical body? Is it almost as if you've got one leg in one dimension and another in the living dimension, basically? Is there a connection there?
Well, I think it's just what you're saying, George. It's that we are all mystical, meaning we have a leg in the human realm, in the body, and then we have a portion of ourselves in spirit always. That's never, when I say I believe, again, it comes from regressions. That's a never-ending, ongoing continuity of consciousness.
Now, tell me about regressions. First of all, how do you think it started? Did somebody stumble across it during some kind of session? What happened?
Well, you know, if we go back thousands and thousands of years, we know that shamans really were the first hypnotherapists. They were the first people who knew there was far more than this life in this body on this planet. And so they knew this long, long ago. But yes, regression hypnotherapy, actually, relatively speaking, as a tool for understanding who you are, regression hypnotherapy is only about somewhere in the range of 30 to 50 years old in terms of being written about and spoken about.
Scientifically, tell me what you do during a regression hypnotherapy session.
Well, if we understand brain waves, so if we're in full conscious waking state, we're in what's called beta brainwave state. That's the state where we can do our work, structure a list for the grocery store, structure a plan for a project. As we relax, then our brain waves begin to shift. And as we relax, if we had an EEG machine, attached with electrodes to our head, we would know that our brain waves begin to shift into what is called alpha state. And that just simply means our vibrations are slowing. The sort of the electrical output of our brain is lessening or dropping in vibration, and we begin to go into a state where we are both totally aware of what's going on currently, and we're beginning to open to being able to access who we are at the soul level.
You know, I've seen movie roles of a hypnotist doing his or her thing with a pendulum. That really doesn't happen anymore, does it?
No. In fact, when you do regression hypnotherapy, most generally we don't use what we might call old-fashioned hypnosis. So we don't make people's eyes roll back in their heads. We don't make them levitate their arm. We're basically just using breathing techniques and imagery techniques, and it really just simply opens us to our own intuition.
But you could make their eyes go, you know, behind their heads and their arms levitate if you wanted to, right?
You could. I just think that makes it seem a little bit mechanical.
Okay.
And a little bit gimmicky. And this is not gimmicky work. This is, I would call it, spiritual work. So it's softer and more gentle, and assist the client to go deeper to basically take them through a story, take them through relaxation, and they discover it's incredibly easy, quite honestly, to access their intuitive process, which is what we would also call clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience. That's really where they're going. We're all capable intuitives. We often just don't realize that we are.
Linda, if you were giving a session, and God forbid you passed out or collapsed or something, would that person be able to get out of it on their own, or would they be trapped there until either you revived or some other hypnotherapist came along?
Yes. George, the crazy old wives' tales of hypnosis and the theatrics of stage hypnosis. So
right.
That makes people think, well, you can get stuck in a trance forever, which is absolutely not true. I can make people do, crazy, silly things and levitate people, which is not what I do. You might call it clinical, except that it isn't clinical, that it's dry and disinteresting. It's what everyone does each night as they go to sleep. Their brainwaves shift as they go to sleep. Now, obviously, my clients are not asleep. They're just simply in a relaxed state.
Are they somewhat, what sleep paralysis is, of course. Are they in that kind of a state where they're awake, they're alert? I mean, if somebody came in a room, they'd probably hear it, but that they're so relaxed, they really can't move, but they can. But they're just kind of in that kind of state of limbo.
Exactly. I mean, I use a lot of sort of empowerment statements in guiding people that they can stop if they need to. They can have a drink of water. They could even get up to use the restroom. They're aware. They're just more deeply relaxed.
Do people get emotional in this state?
Sometimes, yes. Especially when they're accessing emotional information that's tied to past life or between lives. They can then, there might be some level of sometimes it's excitement. For clients who access all the way into the spiritual realm, it honestly is often like feeling like I've come home. But in past life, sometimes there is anxiety. Sometimes there's a sense of deep love that brings them to tears. Sometimes there's an element of fear. So it's very broad-based.
It's almost like an emotional cleansing, isn't it?
Well, I think the bottom line is that when we access either a past life or the between lives, that's the purpose. The purpose is really to galvanize with who we are at that deeper level, come to embrace that, know ourselves in a deeper way. We might say release karma and progress more easily, more comfortably in this current life as we basically are enhancing our grasp of who we are at a deeper level.
Has someone ever got to a point where they were violent under hypnotherapy and you had to bring them out of it quickly? Or to the point where even you might have gotten scared?
George, in 15 years of doing regression therapy, I've never had that happen.
Never. Okay.
So I've never had anyone that I couldn't bring back. I've never had anyone, absolutely, violence has never happened. And in fact, it's the opposite. It's the reverse.
They become docile, probably, huh?
Yes. And it's that place, sometimes you might describe it as reverie, but it's that core place of recognizing, here's who I've been, here's where I've been, and it's truly embracing all that you are in order to, I think the bottom line is to enhance your development at the soul level.
Well, and that's probably the mission here, the goal. Do you think, and we're going to get a lot into the regression and how this works, but do you think people are coming back for perfection? So as they get, let's say, better as a human being, I don't want to say kinder, but to me that sounds like a kinder person sounds a little more advanced than someone who isn't. Do they keep coming back that way, Linda, or is it just, you know, the luck of the draw, the roll of the dice, how many times they come back?
Well, that's the bottom line of understanding of what we gain through between lives regression. So what we discover is that we come into body to advance our wisdom. We come into body to, you might say, remove the husk around our core self. And as we sort of approximate closer and closer to who we are at that core, we then are becoming more pure as a soul and heightening ourselves as a soul, we might say. So we become more forgiving, we become more loving, we become more humble. But, you know, that does happen, and yet it can take many, 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 many lifetimes, hundreds, perhaps thousands.
Perhaps thousands?
Absolutely.
And how many do people remember under regression?
Well, typically for me, if I guide someone in what I call a past life regression, usually they will access one past life. And so it's basically one life at a time. And the other core of this work is, I believe it is all guided outside of us, outside of I'm the human person guiding the clients, but the life that they access is a life, I believe, that their guides and teachers have, in essence, selected for them to learn about in order to deepen something about themselves in their current life, understand something about their current life, release something energetic that needs to be released. So
it's a learning process, isn't it?
It's totally a learning process.
Well, that's fascinating, too, because these helpers or whoever creates that ability to remember the past life and hopefully move on into another stage.
Absolutely. And I, based on all of the regressions, I completely believe each and every one of us has at least a guide in spirit, and usually we have far more than one guide.
Is the guide a loved one who passed on, or the old guardian angel that they used to talk about and still do?
Well, sometimes a guide is a loved one that has passed on. Oftentimes, the guide is a soul who holds somewhat greater wisdom, somewhat higher wisdom, whose basically their job is to serve as the guide for you. You have a guide like that. I have a guide like that. And the more we progress toward our core self, the more we gain in wisdom, the more we gain in the purity of our soul, the more guides we work with, because guides also become specialized. If we're working on a particular issue or aspect through our past lives, we might be working with a guide. And I know this sounds very anthropomorphic, but we might be working with a guide who has a specialty in working on anger issues, or a specialty in learning to deepen our love for ourselves, or whatever issue we might be working on.
Are all the guides good? Think about that, Linda, when we come right back. Our special guest tonight is Dr. Linda Backman. Our websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com, ravenheartcenter.com, and bringingyoursoultolight.com. Halloween week, so we've got a special chat for you, Streamlink members, tomorrow. So come on by. I'll be there. Let's have some fun. It starts at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, Streamlink chat, as we get into Freight Week this Halloween week. Back with Dr. Linda Backman as we talk about past life regression. Linda, let's get into some of these guides for a moment. Some people, there's no question about it, are evil people. And, you know, they're darn right mean. They're murderers. They're robbers. I mean, they're downright evil people. What's the guide try to do to them, if anything?
Good question, George. First of all, we need to talk about free will. So we always have free will to choose how to behave. So basically, just because we have a guide does not mean that the guide has full control over what our behavior is. So the one aspect of the answer to your question is we have free will. The other aspect is we are, as I'm sure has been said far too many times, or maybe not far too many, we are a soul having a human experience. So our soul is different than our humanness. Our humanness may make decisions that at the soul level would not necessarily be who we are at that level, at that more pure level. Guides work with us and encourage us, but bottom line is we still make our own free will choices, often from our human personality.
Speculation here, but is there any way the guide is the evil one?
Well, you know, I think we live in a world where I don't disagree. Of course, we have people whose behavior is
unacceptable.
Yes, totally unacceptable. I don't believe that a guide causes a person to behave a certain way. And you know, there are a lot of people that do what's called depossession work, which I'm sure you've talked about on your show. In the work that I do, what seems to happen essentially, I always hate to say every time because is there always an every time, but this work that I do, I believe, is done much more in connection with fifth dimension than third or fourth dimension. So just for the listeners, just to define that, third dimension is the living here on Earth, this planet, or the middle, this what shamans would call the middle world. Mm-hmm. The fourth dimension is that energetic dimension that is halfway in between the earthly realm and what we might, again, this might have been overstated, but crossing into the light or crossing fully beyond the point of dying into the energetic, you know, fifth dimension or higher. So the work, when I do it, it seems to happen basically every time that we're working in fifth dimension. That's not a realm where, quote-unquote, evil exists.
And some of these souls seem trapped, or they seem to stay in this fourth dimension prior to, between the third and the fifth, right?
I think that can happen. Absolutely.
All of this geared toward making us better. All of this geared toward making the soul perfect. Does there come a time where we stop reincarnating, that the soul stays in this higher plane of existence?
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, again, that is what we have learned through thousands and thousands of between lives regressions, where we access the between life or the spiritual realm. So the purpose essentially of reincarnating is to increase in our purity, to increase in our wisdom, and reach the point where we no longer incarnate again, and then we become, basically, we become guides and teachers who work from the spiritual realm. We would say managing and coordinating incarnations and managing and coordinating the spiritual realm. I personally have no doubt in my mind that that realm exists, because clients come in. They may have never read a word of books that, you know, may contain information and content about
right.
the spiritual realm. And they're repeating, in generic terms, similar information about the, you might say, the landscape of the spiritual realm that has been repeated time and time and time again.
Linda, tell me the difference between the soul regression hypnotherapy and just hypnosis. I mean, well, they're pretty similar, aren't they?
They're similar. They may be different in terms of depth of hypnosis. So, at times, soul regression, or what we might call spiritual soul regression, maybe at a deeper level, and when I say deeper, I mean based on brain waves, it may be a deeper level of altered state or trance. Again, the person is still, they're awake, they're conscious, they know what's happening, they're just in a quieter, more relaxed state.
Your work, Bringing Your Soul to Light, Healing Through Past Lives and the Time Between. The time between sometimes, in terms of our time scale, could be how long? How long do you think it would take? Somebody dies, and then they get reincarnated again. Seconds, nanoseconds, or thousands of years?
Again, great question. It varies a lot. We have some people, some regression therapists who have researched people who incarnated during World War II and the Holocaust. And that period of time, it seems to be the case that souls who died in that period of time, they came back very quickly. By very quickly, I mean somewhere between perhaps as short as a year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe five, six, 7 years. On the other hand, we can have 50 Earth years, obviously I'm speaking about. We could have 100 Earth years between incarnations.
These incarnations, when people pass on, and then this past life comes back. Do we have to have regression to remember it, or do we do things, strange things in our physical life, maybe some telltale signs that we should read and pick up on to know that that's happening?
Yes, there are a lot of telltale signs. Now, there are some people, and I've had this experience, where I have had some spontaneous past life recall. I've had almost like pictures in the back of my head, and that does happen for people. But there are many other ways to begin to get clues of who have I been and where have I been. And so I suggest to people things like think about, and we look at this from a polarized perspective. So think about the parts of the world that you would love to travel to. Or if someone gave you a 2-week paid vacation and, you know, full paid time off of your job, you'd never go there. Often experiences in parts of the world will either have this incredible draw to go there, or sometimes will have this feeling of, I don't want to go there, you can't make me go there. So parts of the world, it's a good time of year to make this comment. People getting ready to go to a costume party. It's who would I like to be? Not that they've necessarily been that figure or that famous person,
right.
but what era of time, what kind of person would I like to dress up as? That's another clue. Sometimes ethnic foods we love or hate, same kind of a thing. I always think about people who go out and do these Civil War reenactments every summer.
Yeah.
I'll bet many of those people lived during the Civil War.
That's entirely possible. Now, and not everyone, because we sometimes hear this about past lives. Not everyone, many of them are not or were not important, famous, well-known figures. They weren't all Cleopatras and, you know, Julius Caesars and people like that, were they?
I mean, if Julius Caesar or Cleopatra are incarnate now, and I don't know that they are, they would likely be only one person, you know, on the planet. So, correct. Most of us have had virtually all our lives as non-identifiable famous characters.
Give us some of the benefits of soul regression. Because it's something I'm seriously thinking of doing. I think people should do it, you know, almost like they go to a doctor for a physical.
Well, I mean, obviously, I would completely agree with you. I think it's highly beneficial work. If I separate apart past life regression from between lives regression, the benefits of past life regression are a variety of things. And some of these benefits overlap from the two types of regression. But past life regression can help us to understand a relationship we've had with someone. an example. I've had people come in and they'll say, you know, I really know I shouldn't have had that relationship with that person. I was in a relationship and I shouldn't have had that relationship. And I feel badly and I need to figure out why in the world I did that. And we will discover with great detail that they knew this person before and there's something unfinished. Now, that, you know, please don't, you know, I don't want your listeners to hear me saying, now I give, you know, condone doing something like that. But
right.
Sometimes we have people who come in and they feel like they met the love of their life, they married the love of their life, they divorced the love of their life, they just weren't compatible.
Right.
That can be a past life issue.
Well, and also people, I think people have confused the word soulmate with people that they are in love with or marry, because sometimes they do divorce. It's 50% now. And, you know, they think when they're in it, this is my soulmate. Maybe it isn't. What does soulmate mean to you, Linda?
Yeah, I think we've over-glorified the term soulmate.
Yes.
So we learn from between life's regression that we usually have 1 to 3 other souls that we have had lives with over and over and over, not necessarily every life, but repeatedly. And that small group of 1 to 3 other souls, usually only 1 or 2, those are the souls, or is the soul, that we know the most deeply. So that is what we might call primary soulmate or primary soul companion. That might be your grandchild, that might be your best friend, that might be your fifth grade teacher or the minister at church. It isn't necessarily the love of your life.
Do you believe, though, that everyone that we are close with in our lives, we probably were with in a past life?
I think, yes. You know, it's hard to define the quality of that deep, deep, deep closeness. But I do believe that if we meet someone and we have this instant sense of connection, and I know you, and obviously I'm not just talking about romantic involvement, but anyone, often, but not always.
Could be the boss, could be anything.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the man who comes to your door to, you know, comes to mow your lawn, or
yeah,
comes to do anything.
The postman who comes every day.
That's right. That's totally right, and that's what's so uncanny about it, is we say to ourselves, well, now why do I feel drawn to the, you know, let's say it's the UPS driver who brings the packages pretty routinely. Why do I feel drawn to that person? Perhaps you've known that person before, but there's amazingly fascinating orchestration at the soul level that if we are to meet particular souls, it will be orchestrated outside of this human life on Earth.
Do we have a choice here, or is it done? I mean, whoever we meet, however these things intertwine, is it done by a higher power?
Yes, I think it's done by a higher power. And frequently it's scripted, you might say, before our life begins. So these are elements that we learn in between lives regressions. We can learn in a between life regression what was the plan that we put in place for this current life. That doesn't mean we can't change it when we get here. But what was the script? So the script might be that I'm to meet this particular person I've incarnated with time and time again when I'm, it might be when I'm 53, or it might be when I'm 3.
How do our past lives impact our present life? How does it affect that?
Well, you know, that's I'll answer that simply, and that would be a very, very, very long answer. They affect us in many ways. People come in and they struggle with, am I making enough money? You know, I should be making X amount of dollars, mm-hmm, in my life. Why do I obsess about this? And let's just say they're making a very comfortable income, but they think they should make more. Perhaps that's the client that comes in and discovers they had a variety of lives of poverty, and so they carry fear about poverty. The same could be true about fire, for example. I know people who have an unexplainable fear of their house catching on fire. That can be because they happen to have died in a past life, because that, in fact, did occur.
There's a story of a little boy who thinks he was a World War II pilot.
Yeah.
And it, truly an incredible case. And
I know that case.
Okay, it's going to be highlighted.
I know the therapist, actually.
That's Carol Bowen,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And we did a little segment on the little boy for a sci-fi show that's coming up in a few weeks. And it may be, to me, one of the most remarkable reincarnation stories I've ever heard, primarily because it seems to be so well documented. Would you agree on that?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that, and I know that story very well. But the interesting thing is that story is actually more common than people think. Carol Bowman did a beautiful job of illuminating that story for people. But I have clients who come in who have those same kinds of circumstances. I remember having a particular client who, he was a, I forget, somewhere around the age of 20, and he said, you know, I came in and I'd been told that I had an uncle that died before I was born, and then I was told I looked a lot like that uncle. And basically this man even made statements and used phraseology that was like this uncle. And so we did a past life regression, and the details of the uncle's past life came forward in the regression that the client did not consciously know.
Linda, where do you get this work, bringing your soul to light?
Where do I get? I'm not sure I understand your
Where
question.
Do we get it? Your book.
Where do we get the book? Excuse me. I thought you were saying, where did I get the title? Where do you get the book? Two ways at this time, because the book, we're taking pre-orders. It will literally be available sometime in January. So you can go to Amazon.com and order it. You can go to bringingyoursoultolight.com, which is one of my websites. And if you'd like an autographed copy, then you would need to get that through bringingyoursoultolight.com.
All right, Linda, and when we come back at the top of the hour, I want to chat with you more about some of the common themes in our lives and in our past lives, if they somehow seem to mesh or overflow into each other's lives. We'll talk about that and much more tonight on Coast to Coast. Third hour, we'll open up the phone lines with Linda Backman, and we'll take your stories. Perhaps maybe you think you were someone reincarnated.